I know it's media, inspiration, and women in literature as well. And I have to say, despite like over 40 years in the media, it's actually very disconcerting to be talking to myself, like looking at myself in a camera. I don't know if I can avoid that, but I might try and just look away. It might make my life easier. It must seem odd to you, the selfie generation. I don't think I've ever done a selfie in my life. Having said that, a bit about my relationship with audiobooks, because it goes way back, and also because I was hoping that some people might actually think of listening to an audiobook, which I personally have always found to be wonderful. I mean, I think a lot of people have parents read books when they're small, and therefore they just sort of, it's reassuring. But they tend to think of it being only for sort of children, you know, whether it's to learn to read or just to distract them or send them to sleep. But I mean, I went to a school in London, which was close to the headquarters of the RNIB. That's the Royal National Institute of the Blind. And because I was a good talker, good speaker, I was invited with a couple of my classmates to go to their offices and read a story. So this is the old, I don't know if you ever remember, or probably you don't, but there used to be quarter inch tape, like literally it was reel to reel. And they were recording it on this, and then they were, I'm not sure how they were sort of disseminating it to blind people, but they were recording these stories. And I just remember thinking, wow, I'd love one of these tapes. I'd like to be read to. And then fast forward, when I had kids myself and was using audiobooks, there was a company in like BMG Kids. They sort of set up a label, the record label BMG. And I just put out these, in those days, they were cassettes. I don't know if you guys even know what cassette is. But anyway, it was a very 5, 6, et cetera. And they were just a sort of compilation of different, my own kids singing nursery rhymes. There was a professional songwriter who wrote kids' songs. There was beautiful voices that would say things like, "This is the sound of a train, choo-choo," you know, and older kids telling jokes. It was just a real potpourri. And I really, not only did I love doing it, but I really got some very positive feedback from people who said, "Oh, you know, it's just been invaluable. I put it on in the car and the kids always love it. And there's so many different bits to it." And so from then, I was still working in TV, which is my main background in music television specifically. But, you know, this, and have continued to be doing so. So I still make audiobooks. Set up audiobook radio because whilst now a lot of people are talking about audiobooks and it's kind of like a thing, you know, people, it's very visible. When I started audiobook radio a few years ago, it wasn't, you know, so we were selling audiobooks and people didn't even really know what audiobooks were. So, you know how people will tell you their hobbies are going to movies, going to the theatre. Nobody would ever say, "Oh, reading audiobooks," or even think to do so. So for me, it was about trying to make them more visible. And now I just love audiobooks and I love doing audiobook radio. Desperately need sponsors and advertisers because it's taken up a lot of time and energy. It's a sort of stripped and stranded schedule that, so at midday, you'll always hear a short play. At 1 o'clock, there'll always be an author interview. At 2 o'clock, there'll always be poetry. But within each of those genres, you know, poetry could be a Shakespearean actor reading Tennyson, or it could be, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning Seamus Heaney reading his own work, or it could be a London Poetry Slam. But it'll always be poetry at 2 o'clock. It's an 8-hour schedule that's repeated 3 times a day. So that's my relationship with audiobooks. And I really don't have, unfortunately, a lot of good tips for people trying to get into the media. I would definitely concur with all those great tips that, was it Lisa earlier who had the TV show? Was it her? I can't remember the name. I'm sorry.
Chrissy.
Exactly, Chrissy. Yeah, I mean, I thought all those were really good tips, you know, about being natural, about being comfortable in what you're wearing and all of that stuff. So I'd go with that. I think the technique involved in actually broadcasting, whether it be on the radio or TV, is minimal. And it's so much about confidence and about just doing it. So I love the idea of people just literally doing it. And the two things I will say that I really feel strongly about is one, which is kind of something I wasn't able to do when I was a lot younger, and that is literally just sort of say what I want and then go for it. Because if you don't say what you want, it's really difficult to get it. And I think that's really, I think a lot of women suffer from always like, well, I don't want to seem selfish. I don't want to say what I want, you know. And then the other important thing is how we kind of quantify success. You know, if you don't have 1 million subscribers to your YouTube channel, or you don't have a prime time, you know, network TV show, that does not mean you're not successful, you know, in whatever endeavor you do. And I think that's so important that we really do look at how we perceive ourselves, you know, because success is, you know, it's a journey. And so just anywhere further down the line on that journey is a success. And I think that's really important because, you know, when you're constantly, I think all of us will get knockbacks and, you know, I think, and defeats, but that's so different from feeling defeated, you know, because it's too easy that one door closes and you're so focused on that door that's closed, you don't see that another one's open. Uh-huh. And I think that's something that, you know, I remember Oprah actually once said something about, if you look at what you have in life, you'll have more. But if you look at what you don't have, you'll never have enough. And I just feel that that is such a truism. You know, that's just so easy to always be looking over your shoulder and looking at, oh, yeah, this person's doing better, or that's sort of happening, you know, in a way that I want that to happen for me. And you're just too busy in that respect and you don't sort of focus on the gifts and the joys and the wonderful things you do have. And the final thing I was going to say is courage. Courage. It's like a kind of muscle. Little courage goes a very long way. And the more you use it, the more you get it. And I do think that's kind of really important. So that's it for me.
Wow. I mean, you came with so many good words of wisdom. I mean, wow.
Thank you.
Wow. It is very true about courage and how we absolutely just need to have more courage and to use it. And women, we don't ask for what we want. We just think, oh, it'll happen, or someone will give it to me because they'll see how good of a job I'm doing. And I think maybe even as a culture, I don't know if you will agree with this, but I think it's taught to women as culture to sit back and not go for what you want. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think instinctively we're too quick to defer. We're too quick to kind of like let someone else do it or assume that, you know, a lot of men can be extremely dynamic and strong and decisive, but underlying or equally important is the emotional and the intuition. You know, the combination of those is kind of sometimes quite unique to women, and it takes you a lot further, you know, because I mean, I'm not trying to sort of stereotype sort of, oh yeah, all men are decisive and all women aren't, you know, but I do feel that there is now much more of a understanding in the business world of the importance of emotional intelligence, the importance of intuition. And those are things that tend to be sort of perceived as feminine characteristics. And I just feel that, you know, we have so much more to offer as women. And I'm more conscious of it because, I mean, Sharma can tell you too, you know, we come from an era when, you know, we're exactly the same age. So we, both of us, started at a similar time where being a woman and being a woman of color was so, you know, it's just there weren't any women of color around in the media. I mean, I never worked in TV.
But there was a positive to that, which was that you just had to get on with it. You had nothing to compare yourself with. And so therefore you did know what was ahead. And I think in a strange way, that is quite empowering to get somewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think often, you know, we're too quick to set out, you know, people talk about the glass ceiling and, you know, the stiletto can crack through it. But I just feel that there's too much idea, this kind of, we self-limit ourselves before we start. And I think that is actually much more common in women. You know, there's this sort of natural belief for a lot of men that, you know, oh, I am absolutely brilliant, I'm really handsome, I'm really wonderful, and I'm going to go, you know, this, sorry, am I getting feedback? You know?
No, absolutely. Oh. We agree with you over here.
You get it, Charmer.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Yeah, it's kind of, don't worry anyway. If you're not hearing it, that's fine. So what I was saying is I do think too quickly we set our sights too low. Or we set ourselves unrealistically high. And that's what I was saying earlier about not always quantifying success in other people's terms. Because, you know, for myself, I perceive myself to have had a successful career. But, you know, I have so many friends and so many people around me who are kind of like, oh, you never became an executive producer, you never ran a TV company, you never became senior management, you never became blah, blah, blah. And they would look at what I've done and sort of think, you were never really successful. You know, so you can take it any way you want, and it has to be a personal goal. And I feel that, you know, now, particularly in the media and also in literature, which I know the two areas we were talking about, you know, self-publishing, it's meant that you can do what you want, how you want, and it's about your own drive and energy to connect with other people. And it's the same with media. You can start a YouTube channel. Charmel was talking about blogging, which is such a good way of connecting, you know, and it's how much you put into that will take you how far you want to go. You know, I just feel there's a lot of opportunities out there, and there's a lot of ways to, you don't have to wait for someone else to endorse you. You don't have to wait for someone else's opinion or someone else to give you the gig. You just take it, you know? And I feel that's really important.
Absolutely. And one of my co-authors is over here, like, she's in your amen corner.
That is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to now open it up to anyone that had any questions, the audience here or the audience virtually. If you guys have any questions, go ahead and unmute your mic there, and the audience will just pass up the questions.
Oh, go, Sharma. There might be questions for you. Oh, I thought you just moved
No. But I will have to go in a second.
Okay. All right, Sharma, thank you for joining us.
But pleasure. Also,
we have a question for Ms. Fo. How, what is a good suggestion on managing time? Because as women, we wear so many hats. What is your suggestion to manage time?
Oh, Sharma's just left. She would be able to answer that absolutely brilliantly. Okay, suggestions for managing time. I think it's, you know, there's obviously you have to prioritize. And for many of us, that priority tends to be it's either children or it's earning money. And everything after that is not a luxury. It's still, you know, a case of finding spaces in your day. Because what I'm always surprised about is that if you've got the intent to do something, you will always find the time. If it means you wake up an hour earlier and just that is your time because you've woken up, you've set the alarm an hour earlier, and that's an hour for you to write, or that's an hour for you to blog, or that's an hour for you to, you know, do a piece to camera for your YouTube channel. Whatever it is you're doing, you know, if you really can't find it in the day, then I really do think set the alarm an hour earlier and go for it. But having said that, I have to say getting sleep is hugely important and very, very beneficial. But I mean, everyone has different demands on their time. And I think as women, it's often more so because there's an expectation that whether you're, if you're married with kids, that you're meant to be looking after your home. If you're not married with kids, there's still this expectation that you're meant to keep a clean home or you're meant to keep a, you know, I just think you can't be beating up on yourself about not being, you're never going to be the perfect mom. You're never going to be the perfect woman, you know. So I think finding those little gaps, and sometimes, you know, if your child does have to wear the same shirt they wore yesterday to school, let them, you know, it's like the world's not going to end.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's possible to answer that sort of time management thing because, you know, everybody organizes their lives in different ways. You know, sometimes bite-sized chunks, you know, of looking at life in, okay, I've got all these little bits. I mean, some people keep an incredibly complex kind of diary and have a wall chart with all the different colors of, you know, pink for the girls' activity, blue for your boys' activity. You know, it's intention. I think it really is. You know, if you want to do something, you've got to find the time to do it. And also, what, you know, I feel like money makes money, time makes time. You know, the more you find that you find little gaps, the more, not only in doing what you want to do, do you have a stronger kind of, you know, everything else you do is better as a result of you're doing what you want to do, you know?
And you know,
the old adage was always, if you want something done, ask a busy woman. That still holds true.
So true. And I thank you so much for your time. I know that you're a busy woman. And where can people check out your audiobook radio?
Literally, just putting in audiobook radio on Google or www.audiobookradio.net. Oh, let me leave you with one thing, not very popular, I know, but Eleanor Roosevelt always said that that women are like tea bags. If you want to know their strength, put them in hot water. I quite like that.
Thank you. I love it. And I have to say,
thank you. It's been a privilege participating. And, you know, just love what you're doing. You are so much about what all of us have been talking about. You know, just getting on with it, doing it, and doing amazing things. You know, well done, girls.
Thank you. And we will see you in July.
Yeah, definitely. Give us dates as soon as you can.
Will do. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. On the contrary, thank you. All the very best with this and all future endeavors.
Thank you.
Cheers.